little session for answering questions in between. So that's nice. So to get back, I mean, what I did, I showed you how to derive Burger's equation, and I also mentioned over here that depending on the sign of the second derivative of the nonlinear dispersion relation, I either go from plus to minus or from minus to plus, which is trivial, of course, but the sign of the second derivative also tells you whether the first derivative is increasing or decreasing. So in this case, the group speed is an increasing function of time, and in this case, the group speed is a decreasing function of time. And I won't worry, I mean, this is, if you put it into the original setting, so you plug in the results of Burger's into your original reaction diffusion equation, you find this outcome that in both cases, independent of the sign of the second derivative, you find that these fronts in Burger's correspond to solutions in your reaction diffusion equation that have a group speed at minus infinity that's larger than the group speed in the middle and that's larger than the group speed at plus infinity. So this really tells you you should have sinks. The natural solutions to Burger's equations tell you that the group speed comes in from the left and comes in from the right. So, I mean, and the details are over there, but I don't want to bother you with that any longer. So this is the outcome. Burger's equation gives a leading order approximation, but it's on finite time and an X domain. So it's only an approximation of a shock or a defect, whatever you want to call it, that has this condition on the group speeds. And you can even, I mean, you can derive the speed of the defect just by a simple Rankine-Hugoniot condition from the Burger's equation. And now the important question is, and this should have been more, I mean, this is probably essential to the talk, and I apologize. I mean, we have an approximation on something, finite time, finite space. Of course, we now want to have a rigorous result on the existence and the stability of this solution for the full equation for all time and all space. So that's, in essence, a different question. Burger's gives us the dynamics of any, let's say, modulated wave train, finite time, finite space. We saw a very special solution. We saw that the solution is stable. And then the next question is, can we prove for this very special solution existence and stability for all time and space? And this is, again, the same as in the Ginzburg-Landau setting. Ginzburg-Landau validity is on finite time. But if you see an interesting structure in Ginzburg-Landau, you would like to prove that this interesting structure, stable structure, also appears as solution in your full underlying system. But that's a different question, more or less, but it's an essential question. So the question is, now we have this, we see this approximated shock, and can we prove that this thing is really there for all time and all space? So that's something you really have to add to your mathematics. And, what you're going to do, you expect this shock solution to have the following structure. You expect it to be a traveling function with a certain speed C star, and also to be time periodic, so with a certain frequency omega star. So you're going to look in the space of solutions that travel with a certain speed and are periodic with a certain frequency. And this special solution, this solution over here, must be biasymptotic to a wave train at minus infinity and a wave train at plus infinity. So what does this mean? So this, in essence, what this means is this relation over here. You would like the distance between the solution you start out with, so this is the special solution, and the wave trains to go to zero in, say, H1, for xi is going to plus and minus infinity. So if you write your wave train in this way, because your wave train has this structure over here, it has this omega and this k. So you write it also in the traveling coordinate and also in the coordinates omega star times t. You write it in the coordinates associated to the coordinate of your solution you're thinking of. And then you say, well, if this can become small for xi going to plus or minus infinity, at least this expression here must be coming equal to 1 because it must be time periodic with the same periodicity of my of the wave train. So you have a condition like this over here. So this one must be equal to 1. This is just if my solution can be biasymptotic to traveling wave trains, then this relation must hold for plus and minus. And lo and behold, you get exactly the same, say, Rankine-Hugoniot condition as we got in Burgers. So we, in a sense, we get the information back from Burgers. So this seems to be the correct way to do. This seems to be the type of solutions that can give me the answer. So, and then again, this is where it's get technical, or it's already quite a but this is where the mathematics get more involved, and I only give you the outcome. So we have all the assumptions on the derivatives of the eigenvalues and of the nonlinear dispersion relation. We have all this information, and the theorem is for all wave numbers that are close to a given wave number k naught, such that the group speed to the left is bigger than the group speed to the right, there exists a weak shock or a defect or a sink solution of this type with this speed C star and this speed omega star, and it's unique up to translations in X and T. So this is exactly the solution that was approximated by Burgers, and now we have recovered in this setting. So this is the existence proof for all, this is a real existence proof in the full underlying system. And moreover, which is also not very surprising, it's also stable. So this is exactly the result I was looking for. So the solution approximated by Burgers really exists in the full setting, and it's like the front in Burgers, it's asymptotically stable. And the techniques are based on an idea of Kierkegaard, which is already kind of old, but it's a very, very good idea. In essence, what you do, you write your PDE as a dynamical system. And of course, I mean, this used to be the diffusion part, so this is a completely ill-posed problem. But we are only interested in special kinds. We do a center manifold approximation, and it's, as I said, it's in essence still based on the ideas of Klaus Kierkegaard, and we prove the result over here. So that's a technique that's already there, and we applied it to this setting. So now let's go into the applications. I have 5 minutes. Application is, of course, complex Ginzburg-Landau. Complex Ginzburg-Landau, well, you can do everything we've done, and here you've got the Burgers equation. It's over here with now the real coefficients computed in terms of the alpha and the beta, and you see that this must be stable because we had stability. This is exactly this, I think this is whatever, a Newell condition, whatever you want to give, well, which name you want to give to it. This must be positive, and here you have this term over here. So you see that it's not interesting to do real Ginzburg-Landau because then this term is not there, and we had the condition that this term should not be equal to zero. In the literature, this thing appears already in Howard and Capel, Monville and Pomeau. But there's, of course, there's no validity over there, but so this one is not new at all. So the validity is new. And I'll be coming back to it. Most literature focus on the Eckhaus instability when this thing changes sign. So I'll be talking a little bit about it in the next transparency. The persistence of the weak shocks has also been studied in the literature in the Ginzburg-Landau setting. I think the results by Brickmon and Kupiainen in 92 studied the real Ginzburg-Landau case. Todd Capitula studied in essence what boils down to alpha is equal to zero. The analysis is much easier in the Ginzburg-Landau setting. For instance, the existence ODE is now the existence problem is now just an ODE, and so you don't have to go into spatial dynamics. So in Ginzburg-Landau, this is all much simpler. So a little note on the Eckhaus instability. So what happens in the Eckhaus instability? This term becomes, say, more. So if you're going to sit close to the Eckhaus instability, this expression is, say, almost zero. So you can introduce your delta as being the value of this expression. That's what people do in the literature. And then you see that if as long as alpha is not equal to beta, your Burgers equation transforms into a perturbed KdV equation. I mean, Burgers is Dutch and Korteweg de Vries are Dutch. I mean, this is interesting for me as a Dutchman to see all these equations popping up. I mean, so you get a perturbed KdV equation, so you have to rescale time and space again, but then this is the equation you have to study. And again, this equation is also not new. It has been studied by Birnhoff already in the late 80s. Hart von Harten did it in the early 90s. But this was all, again, in the Ginzburg-Landau setting. And with our methods, you can do the same now in the general setting. But you get, in a sense, the same equations. And when you have, in the real Ginzburg-Landau setting, in essence, what happens, these two terms disappear, and you get a Kuramoto-Sivashinsky equation. And again, this one was already there in the literature in the Ginzburg-Landau setting. This is all formal, and we claim that the validity methods we have developed can also prove the validity of these equations. And again, if you have an interesting solutions in these equations, you can prove that they will appear in the underlying equations themselves. a final application, or to it's Fitzhugh-Nagumo again. I mean, this is a far from the equilibrium setting. So in Fitzhugh-Nagumo, we have this family of wave trains, so we can study the situation in which you have a wave train at minus infinity and a wave train at plus infinity, and our theory tells you that this defect solution exists also in the Fitzhugh-Nagumo setting. And all information necessary for the application of our theory is in the literature, so we can just apply our theory. And probably the most interesting one, or at least then it makes it really widely applicable, I mean, a system near equilibrium, the bifurcation is described in general, say, of course, I mean, say some kind of Hopf-like bifurcation or whatever kind of Turing bifurcation, you can describe it by locally by a complex Ginzburg-Landau equation. That's the reason why we all have been studying Ginzburg-Landau. But in Ginzburg-Landau, we can approximate shocks by the Burgers equation. So in essence, what we have, we can make this step from Burgers back to Ginzburg-Landau, and then we use the ideas of Alexander Mielke, Guido Schneider, Kula, and Ekman to go back to the original system. So in essence, our results tell you that you will have weak shocks and defects of the sink type, for instance, in a system like Taylor-Couette. And then we have to sit in a situation in which you have spirals, so you have we have, say, a spiraling solution below and a different spiraling solution above, and in between you have the defect that's described by our analysis. Okay, so let's come to an end, and this is just, I mean, this is just a recapitulation. So the conclusion is slow dynamics of modulated wave trains in systems of reaction diffusion equations, but also in a more, I mean, this is just a choice in a sense, reaction diffusion equations, are captured by Burgers equation under some conditions, but this is at finite but long spatial and temporal scales. So all dynamics is prescribed by Burgers, but only finite time in finite space. But the interesting solutions, and of course the interesting solution in Burgers are the fronts, the viscous shocks. For these solutions, we have existence and stability on the entire real axis for all time in the full equation. And just to have this, and it's a sketchy picture again, but this is the idea we have been talking about, is the sink type of solution. So you have a wave train at minus infinity, you have a wave train at plus infinity, the defect is traveling with a certain speed that's in between the group speed at minus infinity and the group speed at plus infinity. So again, the information is going into the defect. So that's it.